brushed past Hendricks. Without slowing down or looking behind me, I said, "Careful with that gun. He gets hurt and it's going to be bad for you, Hendricks." Hendricks ignored me. I had a feeling it was his strongest conversational ploy. I went up the stairs, noting a couple of details as I went. First, that the carpet was even cheaper than mine, which made me feel more confident for some obscure reason. Second, that there were bloodstains on it. A lot of them. At the top of the stairs, I found more bloodstains, including a long smear along one wall. I followed them down to one of the three bedrooms on the upper level of the house. I paused and knocked on the door.
"Come in, Dresden," said a woman's voice.
I came in. Miss Gard lay in bed. It had been hauled over to the window so that she could see out of it. She had a heavy assault rifle of a design I didn't recognize next to her. The wooden handle of a double-bladed battle axe leaned against the bed, within reach of her hand. Gard was blonde, tall, athletic, and while she wasn't precisely beautiful, she was a striking woman with clean-cut features, icy blue eyes, and an athlete's build. She was also a mess of blood. She was soaked in it. So was the bed beneath her. Her shirt was open, revealing a black athletic bra and a long wound that ran the width of her stomach, just below her belly button. Slick, gray-red ropey loops protruded slightly from the wound. My stomach twisted, and I looked away.
"Goodness,"
Miss Gard said, her voice quiet and rough, her face pale.
"You'd think you never saw anyone disemboweled before."
"Just relieved," I said. I forced myself to face her. "First time today I've run into someone who looks worse than me." She showed me a weary smile for a moment. "You need a doctor," I said. She shook her head.
"No."
"Yes," I said, "you do. I'm surprised you haven't bled to death already. Think of what it would cost Monarch Securities to replace you."
"They won't need to. I'll be fine. The company has a great healthcare package."
She picked up a small tube of what looked like heavy-duty modeling glue from the bed at her side.
"This isn't the first time I've had my guts ripped out. It isn't fun, but I'll make it."
"Damn," I said, genuinely impressed. "Are they hiring?" The question won another faint smile.
"You don't really fit the employee profile."
"I'm tired of being kept down by the man," I said. Gard shook her head wearily.
"How did you find us?"
"Demeter," I said. She lifted a golden eyebrow.
"I suppose that shouldn't surprise me, though I've warned him. He's too trusting."
"Marcone is too trusting?" I widened my eyes at her. "Lady, that pretty much puts you in a paranoiac league of your own."
"It isn't paranoia, just practical experience. A safe house isn't safe if it isn't secret."
She reached down and pressed bloodied fingers against a loop of gore, gently kneading it back into the wound. She let out a hiss of pain as she did, but she didn't let a little thing like an exposed internal organ get in the way of conversation.
"You threatened her?"
Mostly I told her I'd help Marcone. She lifted the tube of airplane glue and smeared some of it onto either side of the wound where she'd pushed her guts back in. She bled a little more. I noticed that several inches of the wound had already been closed and sealed together.
"You gave her your word?"
Gard asked. Yeah, but I couldn't take it anymore. "Look, could you maybe not do that while we talk? It sort of makes it hard for me to focus on the conversation." She pressed the edges of the wound together, letting out a breathy curse in a language I didn't know.
"Did you know," she said, "that this kind of glue was originally developed as an emergency battlefield suture?"
"Did you know that you're about to find out what I had for breakfast this morning?" I countered.
"I don't know if it's true," she continued. "I saw it in a movie with, damn it, with werewolves."
She exhaled and drew her hands slowly from the wound. Another 2 or 3 inches of puckered flesh were now closed together,